This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 60. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and first off, welcome you all to the show this week. Thanks for joining us again on another edition of the FitCast, and with me across the two states away right now is Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com. What's up, Jimmy?
Nothing, Kev. How are you? Good to be here with you again today on another edition of the FitCast. It's raining here in Connecticut, so I didn't get a chance to do my the beach stuff this weekend. Got taken some movies, got read a lot, so I'm ready to go.
So what did you do for movies? Did you watch, like, Into the Blue, things that were set along the ocean or in the water?
No. I saw on one movie channel, it was, like, back-to-back Mark Wahlberg movies. It was, like, Fear, and it was another one I forgot, but I went and saw the Simpsons movie, and that was good. I mean, I know people don't like us to get off topic, but the Simpsons movie was good. It could have been a lot better. I think they rushed everything. It was only like an hour and a half long. They could have done a lot more with the movie, but it had some funny parts, but unfortunately they showed all the funny parts like in the previews.
Yeah. That's what happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we have a great show lined up for everyone. Tony Gentilcore might actually be joining us this week. He's still finishing up his Harry Potter book, so it depends on if he finishes that in time or not. So, Tony, I hope you're reading quickly. But on a more serious note, let's get into the FitCast topics quickly, where we're giving away a ton of T-shirts and a hoodie, like I mentioned through our newsletter last week, giving away a ton of T-shirts. First off, here are the winners. Christopher R. George, Dave Fink, Chris Minich. I'm going to try this name, but I apologize if I butcher it. Avichai Khalij, I did my best with that. I'm sorry if I butchered the name. And Brian Cho. And Brian Cho actually not only wins a T-shirt, but he also won a FitCast hoodie. So
nice.
Everyone out there, send me your address, or I'll be emailing you in the next couple of days to get your address so we can send all those great things out to you. Also, include the size that you want. And if you haven't subscribed to the FitCast newsletter, we do giveaways like this every couple of weeks, and we're going to continue to do it. I want to try to get these T-shirts out there to everyone as fast as possible. And for those of you who have gotten your T-shirts, make sure to send me a picture at kevin@thefitcast.com, and we'll throw it up on the website for everyone to see. Always good stuff to see everyone out there wearing the FitCast T-shirts. Like we said, it works great for picking up members of the opposite sex. It's like pheromones.
Yeah, pheromones. But that works about as good as going up to a girl and who's wearing Chuck T's and asking her if she squats. That just doesn't work. So don't try it.
Fair enough. Next up, I want to mention that we have a FitCast Facebook page. We have almost 200 members there, and it seems like a lot of people have been jumping on board in the last month. And I just figured out that I never mentioned it on the show. So I know a lot of people are on MySpace. If you're jumping to Facebook, search for FitCast in the search box there and join our FitCast group. We have a lot of people on there. Most of them are college students because that's what Facebook started out as. But now we are getting some older general population audience. And again, thanks for everyone who has been joining up there and inviting all their friends there. Someone from Canada invited all their friends and just added 50 extra people.
What's the deal with Facebook now? Like, because it's funny, like a bunch of my friends have just been getting on it. And I had one buddy who's been on it for like a year and a half, and because he's in college, he's still in college. And I knew it was like a college-based thing, but now like I know three or four people that just in like the last week told me they're getting on Facebook.
Yeah, it's open to everyone because MySpace looks like crap. Last week on T-Nation how MySpace looks like shit.
Why does it matter if it looks like shit, though? I mean, like, you just
because
go
this
on
is
to, like,
organized.
Talk to people and to post comments when people pimp their MySpace or whatever. I mean, and now Facebook's become the new big thing, huh?
We have a MySpace page, too, but I don't know if we do or not. I think I made one, but anyways. Are you still there, Jimmy?
Kev?
All right. Well, Jimmy, I don't know if Jimmy can hear me or not, but you guys can all hear me out there. I'm going to keep going and see what happens with Jimmy. He might cut off, but we're just going through FitCast topics anyway. Next up, Fat Loss Pros offer continues. I'm still going to offer that 3 free months of the FitCast Insider with a purchase of Fat Loss Pros as long as you buy it through our site at thefitcast.com. People are still asking about it, so I'm going to just continue to offer it because I still think there are two great packages that people can buy together for a ton of different interviews you get all at once. And in regards to the FitCast Insider, I actually posted part two. Jimmy just joined us again, but I just continued to talk. Jimmy, are you there? I don't know why Jimmy can't even hear me. But again, I'm going to keep going and finish off the FitCast topics and see what happens. For next up, if you have any guest suggestions for the FitCast or the FitCast Insider, feel free to send them to me at kevin@thefitcast.com. I mean, this show and the Insider is much for you as it is just us talking about stuff. So if there's someone that you want to have on the show answering questions that you have, feel free to send them to me at kevin@thefitcast.com. Jimmy, are you there? All right. Next up, I apologize for this, everyone, but this is what happens. This happens a lot. All right, Jimmy, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that.
That's no problem. I just kept going on without you, so...
That's fine.
I apologize, but we'll jump right back.
I muted it somehow, and I don't know how I'm back. Go ahead. Where are we going to jump back in?
Well, let's jump back into guest suggestions for the FitCast and the FitCast Insider. And, I mean, Jimmy, this is open to you as well, if you want to get some people on the FitCast to talk about really anything. We want to broaden this as much as possible, and we have the guests on that we've had so far because people have been suggesting them, so we're on episode 60. Let's try to open it up even more. We have a couple thousand listeners, so you guys can definitely feel free to send them to us. And again, it's kevin@thefitcast.com. Just put guest suggestion in the subject line. Feel free to send them in. Next up, we're going to have our articles back on track for this week. We had some people who have been out sick. Some people have been busy with other things. So starting this week, we will hopefully be back on track with an article every day up at thefitcast.com. So again, make sure to check in every day for that.
We've been decimated this week with people being sick and
a little bit
things going on. So
yeah, I was hoping we'd have Tony on to talk about his news a little bit. I know he posted about it on his blog that he and Mr. Cressy are kind of on a new venture right now, and they're still they're busy. They're busy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're hoping to get Tony on again sometime in the future. But again, it's not only that; he's still finishing his Harry Potter book. So,
which I heard is good, very dark, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't read Potter, but I know people who read it, and they're telling that all to me. So,
all right. Well, for all you out there that enjoy the Harry Potter, good for you. It's good stuff, and reading's always good, especially for kids. Next up, I had an article sent to me from JC, one of our listeners, and it was on MSNBC.com, and we talk a lot about the common media for health and fitness-related articles that tend to get out there, and Jacqueline Stenson, who's an author at MSNBC.com, I'm guessing she's their health and fitness head writer or something in terms of that. I don't know if my voice just cracked, but
it did. I didn't want to call you out on it because it's just me and you on the show today, and
that's
I wanted
fair.
To be nice. If everybody else was here, I would have been making fun of you.
Everyone at home's laughing with their iPods. But anyways, I wanted to quickly mention that she wrote doing like a Q&A section for MSNBC.com, and she was answering questions about fat loss and weight training. And I'm going to quote exactly what she said in here. She says, "But as for looking like a lean, mean machine, that may be another story. While all that weight training will undoubtedly boost your muscle mass, it may not help you lose much fat if you're overweight. And of course, if you've got a lot of fat on top of those defined muscles, you're still not going to look buff. So, in a sense, there's no point in weightlifting if you're fat or overweight." So, this week's standing applause goes to Jacqueline Stenson for obviously not knowing what the hell she's talking about.
Yeah, but you can't really get mad at her for it. I mean, I guess you can, but it's like everything else.
I just don't like it because, again, this is something that's going out to the masses that are filling up all those health centers and gyms around the country.
I fully agree with you. And you know, places like an MSNBC or an MSN or Yahoo, you know, there's like a lot of popular websites. Like, I know there's a website called Ask Men, which is like a men website. Like, it's a website for guys. And, like, they have someone that talks about fitness on there. And it's like, man, what the hell are you talking about? But I used to get mad back in the day. Like, man, this person's an idiot, this and that. I don't get mad anymore. I mean, it's just not worth it. Like, you just have to look at that. Yeah, it sucks. Like, a lot of people will go in the gym armed with that information because it was on MSNBC, and that's more reputable and more well-known than, you know, such and such place. And they'll follow that information. But that just leads people more and more to the good trainers out there when they can't get results and get frustrated. And it also makes the trainers look good, because if I'm with a client tomorrow and a client pulls that out, mm-hmm. I can reel off about 30 answers real quick about why that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And the people look at you like, you know, wow, you really know what you're talking about. So you really can't get mad at a lot of the misinformation that's out there anymore now, because you know people don't continually educate themselves. So in the grand scheme of things, that's what it comes down to. But someone like an MSNBC writer or one of those big places, you know, yeah, they'll write about that. And, you know, at the same token, you have these people that are quote-unquote educated that all they do is repeat things other people say. Like, yeah. I talked about this in my blog a while ago, and if anybody wants to go to it, they can go to jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com. I think I did it about two or three Fridays ago, where I just talked about like seven reasons why you shouldn't listen to everybody in the fitness industry. And one of the big ones is, like, I subscribe to every single person's newsletter. Like, I get in my inbox every day. Some people send their updates daily. Some people send their stuff weekly, whatever it is. And a lot of times people repeating the same stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like, 2-3 years ago, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm getting emails from everybody being like, high intensity cardio, low carb diet. That's the stuff still being talked about today. And granted, you can't reinvent the wheel. And granted, majority of people need to know that because they don't follow it, because people are still doing the steady state stuff and they're still not watching what they eat. But, you know, if you guys, you know, it's like you have to go deeper into stuff at a lot of times. So that's what I'm trying to say, is take everything with a grain of salt and you know, see how it applies to you personally. And if you're a trainer, see how it applies to how you train your clients, and don't just take and follow anything blindly.
Yeah, and I have to her credit, she does also go on to say that to lose weight, you'll want to watch your diet. She doesn't give any diet specifics of what to necessarily watch, but she just says watch your diet. And you'll need to regularly engage in fairly intense cardio workouts, which I like to say that you said intense cardio workouts to really burn calories. And then I didn't really like what she said to really burn calories, because she didn't take into effect the calories you'd be burning outside of the gym as well. But
yeah,
all in all, I guess this is something that we're just going to continue to see around the country and around the world in terms of mass media getting the right idea, but really not nailing it completely, I guess.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. And I think a lot of times us as a fitness industry, we're always trying to compete against, you know, who knows more. And everybody's trying to talk with all these big words, and everybody's trying to say, well, this research said this and this research said that. 99% of people don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. People just want results. People just want to have something tangible in their, you know, in their hands and say, okay, I can go in the gym and do this program. Okay, I can follow eating like this. And you know, there's really something nice and great about doing something simple, savagely well. So I think like that's hopefully a trend you'd see more in the industry. Like, yeah, we still have to be thinkers and we still have to push the envelope when getting results. But a lot of people, that's all they care about. Like, people don't really care that, you know, the glutes don't fire, so the hip flexors are tight and the low back hurts. Like, no one cares about that. They just want to care, like, just fix my back.
Yeah.
Like, just make me not have pain anymore. So I think hopefully that's the thing as the industry that we need to realize. And, you know, sadly, these MSNBC articles, these MSN articles, you know, these mainstream media outlets are kind of helping. Like, I mean, you know, and there's a lot of dumb stuff. Like, my daily paper every Tuesday has a health and fitness section, and there's some of the dumbest things in the world that I see in there. You know, but again, it's the main media, it's, you know, mainstream, and that's what they want to do. So it is what it is.
That's fair enough. And again, it's great to keep on track of, I forget who mentioned this in the past. I think it might have been at a seminar or something like that, but someone mentioning that you should always be reading the latest muscle mags and see what's in the latest news in regards to fitness and nutrition. So when your family members or your clients come up to you saying, oh, did you know about this? Did you hear about this? You'll be educated enough where you can go back and say, this is why it's wrong or this is why it's right. So you could be giving them great information through those means as well. So it might be worth picking up those muscle and quote-unquote fictions as well.
Yeah, like, I don't think, I mean, you know, it was common, and I mean, I did that one time, is everybody rags on those magazines, and I know we had an episode a while ago about them, but, you know, especially if you're in this industry as a trainer, you know, you really need to be reading those magazines. Like, I mean, I have buddies, I have a friend of mine, you know, who takes his fish oil, who gets his Muscle and Fitness every month, and he doesn't work out. You know, but at the same time, if you're in, he gets angry when they don't get sent there on time to him, which is a whole story. But like, if you're in this industry, like, you have to be reading them, like, you have to stay on the pulse. And a lot of times, you know, bodybuilders or people that are writing for people trying to lose fat and add muscle are ahead of the curve in terms of physique development because, you know, that's what they do. Whereas a lot of times, other people who are talking about how you should train aren't necessarily purely physique coaches or whatever. There's a lot of factors that play into it. So I think you have to read every single source of information. You know, there's times like I'll spend, you know, I just bought a product for, I think it was cost me like $100 or whatever. And when I looked at it, the description, I think, but if
don't worry, folks. That's not you. That's Jimmy's connection. Jimmy, can you start that over again?
Yeah, well, from where?
Start when you began to talk about that product because I lost you there for a second.
Oh, like I just spent like $100 on a product that I wasn't really sure if I was going to learn anything out of. But you know what? Like, if I learn one thing, it's worth it. Or if it pushes my chain of thought into somewhere, it's worth it. Because like, I buy every bodybuilding magazine, you know, on the newsstands every month. Like, I just bought a book that's supposed to be like the bodybuilding book for, you know, getting lean and getting ready for a contest, right? I was really disappointed with the book, but I picked up a thing or two from it. And the thing is, like when you look at these magazines, they're on the forefront for the physique development and for adding muscle and losing fat, which in the grand scheme of things is what the majority of people want to do. They listen to the show, they go on the message boards and all that. Like, granted, some people have performance and that stuff's there. That's a different story, but you can't knock these people. Like to knock the bodybuilders, and yeah, a lot of stuff they say sometimes you do have to scratch your head, and especially when you see like the 30-year-old guy in the gym doing those routines when he doesn't even have enough muscle mass to be doing them in the first place, that's when you scratch your head. But to knock on him, I think, is kind of ignorant. Yeah, there's a lot of dumb stuff said in there, but at the same time, if you're in this field and you want to make money in this field, you have to stay ahead of the curve, and a lot of times that's what it is. You know, you can't find every research study, you can't learn about every new technique when it comes out. You know, so you have to take every avenue possible. Like, I have a magazine in my hand now, which is like, to me, it's in every single page is like an advertisement for something. Like, it's not even one of the bigger muscle magazines.
Well, yeah, that's how they make them so cheap now. Like, my Men's Fitness is probably, it's over 50% advertisements. But
I'm not even talking about that. Like, this magazine's even worse. Like, this magazine's affiliated with a couple supplement companies.
Oh, okay.
So on top of the traditional advertising they have in it, they have a lot more like supplements like I've never even heard of. But I bought it because one of my clients was featured in it. A physique client of mine was in it. And so like I bought it just for that reason. And I was like, you know, if I pick up a thing or two from it, whatever. So I think you can't – just don't knock everything and see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I some of the muscle – quote-unquote muscle magazines are things like Men's Health and Men's Fitness. They're getting progressively better, I want to say. Especially in terms of if you look at some of the workouts that they have in, say, Men's Fitness, you can kind of get a general idea of what they're shooting for, and you might not use that workout, but you might find an exercise that you've never used before, say, like the Palloff press. Like Eric used that in one of his workouts in Men's Fitness a month or two ago. So you might be picking up something as simple as that, and you know what? If you just want to go to Borders books or something, go sit down, flip through the magazine and put it away. You can always do that too. So,
well, I mean, that's the thing. That's why Men's Health and Men's Fitness stand out, because they have the people that are doing the training articles are the people that do it every single day. So they're a little different than the other articles. But yeah, like a lot of times, like I just said, today's a rainy Sunday. I had a lot to do. You know, I had to write a couple articles, but if I didn't, I was going right to Borders. I was picking up everything that's related to the health, fitness, human field. And I sit down with it. I bring a little notebook with me. And, you know, I try to take as many notes as possible before someone comes and yells at me. And a lot of times I'll just go to the library and sit there and pull out books. Like, granted, again, you have to take it that maybe the book's a couple years old. But, you know, I sit down at Borders all the time and just read magazines. That's actually one of my more favorite things to do. So it has its advantages, and you have to get through it. And I think a lot of times you lose sight of what's going on. I know myself personally, for a while I was very anti-muscle mag. And that's in my training. My training has always been based on pure performance. And I don't think you can say performance and you could just be an athlete, you know, because even if you're trying to add muscle and lose fat, you're training for performance as well. Maybe not performance in the basketball court or performance on the baseball diamond, but you're still training for performance. Because I think in the grand scheme of things, performance is what you're training for. You have to always beat your performance in the gym. So aside from that little tirade, you know, I wasn't reading, you know, the bodybuilding magazine. So I was going in there and I was doing workouts that, yes, I was getting stronger, but I wasn't necessarily – I didn't have a kind of an end goal. Like, I didn't have that focus, that drive that I know for me personally comes from, you know, reading these magazines or looking or getting more and more involved with what I'm doing. So, like, I know myself that kind of pulled me back because I was spending all the time reading, you know, like, and doing, like, a lot of, you know, movement-based stuff and things like that. So you kind of always have to redefine your focus, especially in terms of training. And, you know, that's, I guess, my message for the day right there.
Well, there you go. The more you know, it's knowing's half the battle. Sorry.
That's G.I. Joe, knowing's half the battle. I think this would be the song we
And the more you know is the thing for NBC. They used to do those things for NBC, public service announcements. But anyways, yeah, let's get back on track.
Sure,
no more G.I. Joe talk.
And well, we can just leave with that song and I'll be happy.
Fine, I got it. All right. Well, anyways, let's jump into the mailbag this week. And we had a couple of questions, actually. One of them was in regards to last week's show. And you know what? And I thought it was a great question because I got my Stavia in the mail the past week.
What'd you get?
I got the bulk nutrition version of the powder.
Cool.
And I have mixed feelings about it.
Really?
Because I tried using it in the famous gourmet nutrition peanut butter and chocolate shake, and I was very disappointed. It tastes very chemically.
Really? I mean, I've never used it in something like that. Like, I can just.
I tried it in a shake of Evo Pro fruit punch or whatever flavor it is, and it was really strong. I might have just used too much. I only used a 1/4 of a teaspoon, though.
Well, I have the now Stevia, which I forgot what it's called, and it comes in individual packets, and it has like chromium and some other, you know, blood glucose supplements in there. And I just use one packet at a time. I use it like with my whey shakes, like post workout, like I use it in there, and things like that. So, I've never minded the taste, to be honest with you.
So if you use the powder, or do you use the, I mean, not necessarily just the extract powder, but have you ever tried using the liquid as well?
No, I've used the powder. I've always used the powder.
Okay.
I find that's kind of the way to go for me.
Well, is the packets that you got, is that the extract, or is it something is it like a sweetener that they use Stevia to make? I mean,
no, that's the actual extract, and you have to be careful because a lot of times they'll combine Stevia with dextrose, and I forget
really?
What it's called on the label. Yeah, like, it's funny because I've been always talking about that one protein powder I drink that has it in it, and I think it's actually like Steviasides or whatever it's called. It's part Stevia and part dextrose. Here's the thing. Here's the conundrum. You're not going to find a protein powder out there that doesn't have like sucralose in it. Because I'm big, you know, I'm like, I want a protein blend. I want whey and casein. I don't just want a pure whey. And the only thing I could find was Optimum Nutrition's 100% natural whey. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't just want a whey product. You know, so I'll go with something that has, like, the half stevia, half, like, dextrose thing in
there.
So
you get the stevia balance packets? Is that what it's called?
I think that's what it's called. I don't remember.
I'll throw up a link in the show notes for people out there if they're interested.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. And it has the chromium in it. It has some other, you know, it has something for the colon as well. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. It's, I'm waiting for it to load. I probably shouldn't be loading this right now. Maybe we won't have connection problems. But, they just basically had a question for you. And I really don't have much experience with this, but. We talked about last week using it in things like shakes. Have you tried using it in anything like oatmeal or throwing it just on some anything else.
Again, I'm probably the blandest person you'll talk to, but I have had clients use it, like when they use flavored oatmeal, because I let my guys use some flavored oatmeal. My clients use some flavored oatmeal at times, like when it's like the maple and brown sugar or syrup oatmeal. Like I'll have them throw a packet of the stevia in there, and you know I haven't really got a lot of complaints. Like one or two people haven't liked it, but I haven't got any complaints. I actually put it in with Crystal Light, and I didn't like it. When I put it in with Crystal Light.
Well, yeah, that would be wicked sweet.
Yeah, well,
Crystal Light's
things.
Already pretty sweet.
Yeah, you got to try things. But other than that, I have no problems with it whatsoever.
Well, I'll give it another shot, and I'll even order some of those packets and see if that makes a difference. But I don't know. We'll see. And if anyone out there has any feedback on stevia, or if you've used it in anything in regards to... I don't know. You haven't tried using it in cooking, I'm guessing.
No, I haven't. Again, I only use it, like, I'll use stevia. Currently right now I'm using 3 packets a day, and I only put that in with my shakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't really use it with anything else.
All right, fair enough. We'll jump into our next mailbag question. That's in regards to a blog post that you actually had, Jimmy. Luckily, we had you on this week because... we had some questions about green tea because, more or less, this person doesn't like green tea whatsoever. They can't stand drinking it in any form, not iced green tea. They've only drank the sweetened green tea or the diet chilled green tea. But one of the questions was, do you recommend people take a green tea supplement like EGCG or anything like that instead?
Yeah, 100%. I don't like my... I know people that don't like the taste of green tea. Like, again, like I'm probably the blandest person. Like, I go to Starbucks, iced green tea, unsweetened, nothing in it. Just give me the tea and give me the ice. If you don't like the taste of it, I would suggest you can try like some natural honey in there as well. It would probably make it taste better. You can also Crystal Light and Lipton both make their own kind of green tea, which is it's all natural. Like, it doesn't have it doesn't have any sugar in it. It tastes different than when you brew it yourself. It's still green tea, still has the antioxidants in it, and I believe the Crystal Light version is actually caffeine-free. Back to the question, you can take a green tea supplement. Like, that's totally fine. EGCG, you know, that's totally cool. Like, I give it to people that don't really like green tea, but again, you know, you can try the other options. Like, definitely throw some honey in there, too.
Good deal. Well, there's some options for you, and... hope you have some better luck. This is somewhat off topic, but I wanted to mention that I have a buddy that works at GNC, and he listens to the show while he's there. And you know what? GNC, really not that bad of a place when you think about it, especially if you're your employees. Employees get 30% off whatever like the gold card price was, and he was able to hook me up with a free gold card, so I'm happy about that. And it's always for those times where you don't have the time to wait 2 or 3 days to get it from the online stores where you have to, I don't know, like say if you go on vacation and you forget your creatine, God forbid, you got to jump into GNC and pick some up. So that's that. I don't know why I mentioned it, but I thought it was pretty neat. Well,
fine.
Yeah, before we jump into our roundtable discussion, quickly, we have to mention our sponsors. First off, TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. The new TTMembers.com manual that just came out this week for the month of August is all in regards to kettlebells and dumbbells for fat loss. And Jim, we saw some crazy stuff in regards to kettlebells at Ryan Lee's boot camp with... what's his name?
Steve Cotter.
Steve Cotter. And that guy's just nuts. If you don't know who Steve Cotter is, look him up on Google and check out some of the videos of him doing some kettlebell stuff. It'll really blow your mind. And it definitely has some applications for fat loss. So all you out there who are part of TTMembers.com, log in, check that out. Next up, BlackStarLabs.com. As always, you can save 10% using the code FIT10, that's FIT10. Throw that into the comments at checkout, and the discount will be applied after you check out, so you won't see that 10% off, but when you're billed, it will be 10% off. And the featured product this week for Blackstar Labs is Peptide Pro version 2.0, which is very much like Muscle Milk. And it's good stuff. They have it in banana and cookies and cream. I really recommend checking it out. One thing I've been doing is mixing one scoop of the cookies and cream from Black Star Labs and one scoop of cookies and cream Evo Pro, just when I want a nice quick meal and I don't want to get all the fat, just throw in some fish oil instead. So something you might want to check out. Always great stuff from blackstarlabs.com. And last but not least, RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. As always, Mike Robinson, his website where you can pick up Inside Out, Magnificent Mobility, Bulletproof Knees, so many great products there. And if you haven't checked out some things like Magnificent Mobility, those things can really make a difference in the ways that you train and the way you warm up. So make sure to check out our sponsors, because I know they enjoy it as much as we do if you do that. I don't know if they enjoy it, but they're happy that you do it. Well, let's jump into our roundtable discussions. And the first one I want to start off with, Jimmy, since you did have an article on T-Nation about adrenal fatigue, I think we should talk about that a little bit this week. So do you just want to talk a little bit briefly about what your article was about, and then we can talk about some applications for it?
Sure. The article kind of, it sparked up definitely some interesting debates on online, partially because people just really don't understand it, and people want to get on it because it's something they don't know about, so they want to attack it. Basically, what adrenal fatigue is, really quickly, if you want to talk about the practical aspects of it, it's something a lot of people suffer from. People made a big deal about, oh, well, if I've been suffering from it, how have I been making gains? In no way, shape, or form can you not make gains from it. Can your gains plateau or be slower? Definitely. You look at all the symptoms involved with it. And here's another thing. I was definitely not trying to diagnose anything on there. I'm giving you the symptoms. You do with them what you want. So for the idiots out there that wanted to say I was trying to diagnose something, that's for you. But in the grand scheme of things, you have to look at people are waking up every morning and people, the whole phrase is don't talk to me before I had my cup of coffee. Like, that's adrenal fatigue right there in of itself. People are going to the gym, they're not motivated to train. Or if they are, people are coming back, they're knocked out from a training session to the point that, like, they just feel weak the rest of the day. There's a lot of aspects out there that have to be addressed, and it sparked a huge debate at T-Nation with some medical students saying it wasn't there, with some medical professionals saying it is there. Again, it's something that is not the really big known thing right now, so that's why it gets a lot of resistance from people. It's not something that your regular physician is going to check for. It's not something, you know, they're really schooled in, and that's why they're not going to check for it. It's something that I came about just working with people every single day, and when you work with people every single day, you'll see this. You're going to see that, yeah, maybe one time they're tired, but if they're consistently tired, there's an issue. Or if they're having trouble losing weight, regardless of the diets you put them on or the supplements you put them on or how good you think your training program is, there's issues out there. So you have to look at what the adrenal glands affect. If you know pure basic physiology, you're going to know that they do control everything. You know, carbohydrate metabolism, fat metabolism, hormone production. That you can't argue. So the people that are arguing that, just make themselves look dumber and dumber by spending a lot of time online anyway. So you have to look at the fact that the adrenal glands really control every single hormone in our body. So imagine if you're overworked. If they're overworked, what's going to happen to you? We see all the time that people have issues, right? Men have estrogen issues. Men have low testosterone. Men and women have cortisol issues. Thyroid hormones always screwed up. There's a lot of things in there, especially you look at the whole salt relationship, right? If we don't have proper sodium in our body, we're going to see thyroid is going to shut down. So sodium phosphate, if we don't have sodium phosphate, sources like that from sea salt in our body, our thyroid is going to shut down. Well, why is our thyroid shutting down? Our adrenal glands can't produce the thyroid hormone that it needs to produce. So a lot of the thing that people reject it for is because it's too heavy for people to understand in one article. And I'm going to go into deeper things in other articles, and I'm going to talk about it more. But the thing people have to understand about it is it's out there, it's real, and if you work with people, you see it. Like, what do you think of it, Kev? Like, you're someone who's in there training and you're around people all the time. Like, what do you think of it?
Well, the way I approach the article is having it as information. It's information that, I read the article and I thought about it for a little bit. I didn't come to any conclusions. I didn't sit, make any statements to myself saying, you know what, like, this is it. This is 100% the whole kit and caboodle in regards to adrenal fatigue. As a student, like, I'm just soaking it up, and I'm trying to see what I can get out of it. And you know what? I might be able to adapt it in ways for athletes, even when I'm going to be training people up at college this year, where, you know what, I might be able to put two and two together. And you know what? They might not be suffering from adrenal fatigue. They might not be, but it's something that I can just keep in the back of my head. And it's, and again, you had signs of things to look at. And I know a lot of people out there were saying, well, you know what, anyone can suffer from those signs and they might not have adrenal fatigue. But again, like you said before, you weren't diagnosing it. You were just trying, you were getting the information out there. And I think it's great on T-Nation. There's pages of just people talking about it. And I think that's a great thing. It spurred discussion, and people talked about it.
And I'm all for that discussion. You know, people got on me because someone was posting in there, and you know, I posted and said, you know, your opinion, but start a new thread about it. I posted that because that thread was directed to the article, to talk about the article. If you think it's crap, fine. That's okay with me. Post about that. But when you're going on there and you're saying negative comments, I don't know, one of the comments was, for someone pursuing his master's degree in human movement, why doesn't he have a research study? Like, dude, that's, you know, that's really weak. Like, that's a negative comment. Like, don't come with something like that. Like, if you don't think it's there, there's one guy in particular posted some very intelligent stuff, but at the same time, he came out like a very attacking way. And I don't care if someone disagrees with what I have to say. That's totally fine. There's a lot of people on there that disagreed with me. I replied back to. I got a ton of emails from people that disagree with me. And the ones that came very professionally, you know, and came to discuss the topic, I talk about it for days. But when people come and tell me that it's crap, you don't know this, then list 1,000 reasons, I don't want that in discussion of my article. Like, I'm just going to ignore that comment. I'd rather spend my time helping people. Like, I'm not one of those people that can spend my day, you know, reading research. And then when I get up in the gym and go do a shoulder press, like, I have so much lordosis, like, it hurts to even look at pictures of it. I'm not one of those people. And a lot of people got on James Wilson, who's, I quoted from one of his books, because they say he, you know, has some interesting things to say. Well, what people don't understand, there's a lot of doctors like him, a lot of functional medicine doctors out there that are looking at these things, that are helping people. And then you have the people that sit online who aren't helping anybody critique them. So that's kind of something else people have to take with a grain of salt. Like, it's a very popular thread. I'm happy people got on it. I was in it today answering some questions. There's symptoms out there, like you said, Kev. Like, I think one person posted, I tested, you know, bad on all these symptoms and I'm still making gains. You can't. But, you know, when you have someone out there who's saying, man, I'm craving salt. Or, you know, when you have people out there who have other issues, like, you know, people that just can't focus or people that are being sick for times on end, like, you're going to know to look at things and you're going to know something else is wrong. So, you know, you as a trainer, you're going to decrease your volume a little bit. You're going to do some things. There's a lot out there. So that's kind of what I want to say about that.
No, and like I was saying before, I think it's just great. You got a lot of information out there. You know what? Some people might not even know what the adrenal gland did before they read the article. But now, guess what?
I don't think a lot of people did.
Well, at least now they know that. And speaking of being sick, our thoughts go out to Jen Heath, who's been fighting quite the sickness over the last week or so. And hopefully she's getting better. She's still under the weather, so yeah. She wasn't able to join us this week. But all in all, good stuff, and looking forward to seeing more about adrenal fatigue in the future. And I'll come to you if I need diagnosing, Jimmy, all right?
Yeah, sure. All right. Run to me.
Sounds good. Next up, in terms of roundtable discussions, we were going to talk about endurance athletes, because I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show. We mentioned if people wanted to hear about endurance training, nutrition, and supplementation, to email us. And I got about a dozen emails from people saying they wanted us to talk about this.
Cool.
So I know, Jimmy, you have some endurance athletes. So let's just jump into quickly talking about what their training looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, endurance athletes, again, you're going to have to look at, they're a funny breed. They want to say that they have to train a certain way. Like, I have one endurance client. When she first came to me, she was like, you know, I have to keep running X number of miles. I have to train high repetitions. She was telling me how to do my job. endurance athletes are generally going to be better off training for shorter distances. Because you have to look at endurance runners, you know, their primary fuel source is going to be glycogen, okay? And then it's going to go to fat, obviously, when the glycogen is burned out, but we're not going to get into that. So a bigger muscle, and endurance runners are going to go crazy, bigger muscle, no, but the stronger you are, the bigger your muscle is, the more glycogen, you know, you can potentially be able to hold. And obviously, it goes up to a certain amount because, you know, the humans can only hold a certain amount of glycogen in their muscle. But at the same time, for endurance runners who don't have amount of muscle mass, in simply increasing that is going to allow them to hold more glycogen in there. So the first thing endurance runners need to do is they need to get out of the mindset that they have to train for endurance. If you're always doing that, you're going to be primarily slow twitch dominant, which granted, you know, training, you can have some adaption there. So they need to get out of that mindset. They need to train a little heavier, focus on their training to get stronger and to make themselves more explosive. You know, they're going to have to do more, you know, sprint distances for surf and sprint distances for work. So that's one of the things. But I think training-wise, you have to get endurance runners into doing more relative strength work, more work to get themselves stronger, more work to slightly increase muscle size, not to the point where they're going to be muscle-bound and not going to be able to run. But again, everybody likes to look at track athletes' bodies and you know, people like that, look at their bodies. You know, they're still extremely fast. Same thing you're going to have to do for a track athlete, so for an endurance runner. So that's just kind of where I'd go with their training really quick.
Well, in terms of nutrition, from all the aspects that I've seen from the dietitians that I've talked to, well, many of them have been, I think we talked about this on the show, but the three that I've talked to in the past have all been marathon runners. And they've all praised the high carb ratio for their diets in terms of macronutrients. What's your take on the whole nutrition aspect of endurance athletes?
Well, I think endurance athletes would need to go with a little more high carb. Again, the first thing you're going to have to look at is endurance athletes' bodies generally look like crap. I don't mean to offend any endurance athletes out there. But you see them, they're doing all this endurance work. Their cortisol is going to be through the roof. Again, this goes back to the adrenal fatigue thing. And it's always going to go back to it now after I put the article out there. But they're going to have hormonal issues there. They're not going to have a good amount of muscle on them. They're going to have some issues going on. So I think nutrition-wise, first I need to look at how can I tighten up? How can I get myself leaner? And because you know the more ratio they have, lean muscle mass to fat mass, the more efficient they're going to be. So that's the first thing they're going to need to do. In terms of nutrition now, a high-carb diet is good. But again, I think they'd be better off taking a more cycling-based approach as well. Because when you look at it, yeah, if they want to carb load a couple days before they go run, that's fine. But for endurance athletes to keep saying they need more carbs, more carbs, more carbs, that's really a bad thing. But again, that goes back to how they're training. You know, if I'm going out and I'm doing, you know, my 10 miles every day, yeah, sure. You know, I'm going to need to take in a whole lot of calories to get through that. So that's an issue that endurance runners are going to need to address there, is that they're too carb heavy. They don't allow themselves also because of all the endurance work they're doing to add more healthy fats to their diet, their omegas, their GLAs, their CLAs, things like that. So I think nutrition for endurance athletes is going to depend more on their training aspect. Now, if you want to get into the injury aspect of it, endurance runners are going to be the worst. You're going to see fractured fibias. You're going to see a lot of stress fractures there, a lot of patellofemoral, so the knee joint issues, a lot of ankle issues, simply because they're always out there pounding the pavement. More and more and more, and they need to learn how to kind of deload and pull back from that. They need to get out and do more sprint-based work, do more weight training work, things that get themselves stronger as opposed to having themselves go more and more, because that's where all their issues and all their problems are running into is that. They're going out there and they're continually doing that work as opposed to getting in the weight room and getting stronger and facilitating themselves there. They're not generally the healthiest runners you're going to see. They're going to have issues, have a ton of hip problems, because they're really not getting the hip extension they need. They're getting all, you know, pure flexion-based stuff, so they're going to see a lot of anterior hip issues with them just because the glute's not firing to pull the femur back, so it's gliding forward. See a lot of psoas tendinosis-based issues. See a lot of adductor strains, a lot of medial knee pain as well, because their adductors are so bound up because they don't have their lateral hip firing, so they have a lot of crossover effects and things like when you really look at their gait mechanics, you see what's going on with them. What else, Kev? You got anything else?
Well, I actually wanted to ask you quickly about if you have your endurance athletes doing more higher rep stuff, because I mean, they might start thinking, if I'm going for endurance, I want my weight training to be endurance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't ignore all the higher rep stuff. I mean, we still have to do that, obviously, just from a pure health perspective. You know, you're looking at increased tendon strength and, you know, getting out the fatigue, the fatigue substrates that are accumulated from the workout. So that's going to be a little bit better off from previous workouts, rather. So that's going to be a little bit better off there. Generally, if you want to look at a program, they're going to get, they're probably, if they're in there for 45 minutes to an hour, their first two lifts are going to be more heavy-based lifts, lifts in the low rep ranges. You know, they'll do some plyometric work as well, you know, because that's, again, a baseline level for strength there. And then towards the end, they'll get to a little more higher rep-based work. So I think you have to look at it where they can still have the higher rep endurance work, but they can't always do that. So
let's talk a little bit about supplementation, because we all know about the raised cortisol levels. And in the past, we've talked about a supplement called Lean Extreme, made from the guys at Designer Supplements, which helps regulate your cortisol levels. Would you recommend them take something like that?
Well, here's my thing with that is you have to look at endurance runners and I believe rowers. Came with a study came out a while ago to show that those two people, those two sports, for people the most inclined to have Alzheimer's, you know, because oxidation to the brain, a lot of issues based there, but when you look into supplementation, a supplement like Lean Extreme is a good supplement, but at the same time, I'd be more concerned with finding out what's going on with the cortisol instead of just purely blocking it. Like, why are they having this dip? Like, again, with my adrenal fatigue article, somebody posted, you said there was high cortisol, and then another place you said low. I didn't contradict myself, pal. I was talking about circadian rhythm, how at times, because cortisol is low-grade adrenaline, it will wake up because it's high. It'll peak at 10 a.m. It'll peak around 3 p.m. Again, these are just averages. And then before we go to bed, every other time our cortisol is going to be low. There's a ratio for testosterone to cortisol that has to be there that people don't realize. It's not one or the other. It's not just always high and it's not just always low. I'm talking about the resting levels there. So when it's low, it's a problem. And when it's high, it's a problem. You know, when it's high, we're going to have, you know, improved fat around the midsection. And when it's low, we're going to have decreased energy because, again, cortisol is low-grade adrenaline. So that's what people need to realize. And when you get back to endurance athletes, I'd be looking at what's going on with them. I try to treat them more with herb-based issues, fish oils, a ton of fish oils. I would be concerned with what the cortisol issue is there because, again, you're looking at a high-carb diet. You know, unless the endurance athlete is taking all purely, you know, oatmeal and rices and, you know, complex carbs, I hate to call it that, but you know, really unrefined carbs, unprocessed carbs, they're going to have that quick blood glucose crash, the blood sugar crash. So then you're going to see you won't be able to inhibit insulin to the brain. Stuff's coming out more and more now. That leads to brain issues when you have high amounts of insulin in your brain. So what you have to look at is their endurance issues, their nutrition issues, rather, or what's going on with their cortisol. Supplementation-wise, you know, they're going to need a lot of stuff that the majority of people are going to need. They're going to need a ton of zinc. Probably more zinc than the average individual. Magnesium, they're going to need their fish oils. Then you have to look at some more endurance-based things, herbs to modulate this cortisol and to take care of it because they're having that issue with it. They're having their body's eating away at muscle tissue that they don't have because endurance athletes are going out there. They're running for miles. They're doing nothing to build the muscle mass up. They need to get in the gym. They need to add some muscle mass to their body, have that lean sprinter look to them, then go out and perform. But again, endurance athletes are going to be the more banged up people, most of the more banged up athletes you're going to see.
All good points, and I hope I can get some of the track athletes up at school to listen to this because they're doing the exact opposite.
Yeah, I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. I mean, I only know this because I made the mistake. You know, I was a basketball player. I played basketball in college, and I was always going for, you know, long runs in the summer to keep my wind, and didn't do a damn thing. You know.
Oh, if only we knew then.
Yeah,
you know,
it's always going to be that way, but, you know, I was going out and I was doing endurance runs and I was finding out, you know, I hated doing them. I still hate doing them now. Like, even when I'm trying to get leaner, I don't do them. You know, I'm not a big cardio proponent in and of itself anyway. Like, I'll do my high intensity work when I have to do it, but man, you know, I hated doing it, but I was doing it, you know, and everybody does it. But endurance athletes, they're slow and weak, and I don't mean to offend endurance athletes when I say that, but they're going, doing it. They're purely, you know, type 1. They don't have a fast twitch muscle fiber in their body. So simply making that changeover to be able to put more force into the ground, you know, because you look at, you know, again, go back to track and field athletes. People are doing stuff with, you know, chutes and harnesses and things like that. all that really matters is the force that we put into the ground, is how much force I can put in with my right foot and then recover with my left foot, how much force I can put in with my left foot. That's all that really matters. Endurance athletes, the same thing, is how much force can you put into the ground? I work with two endurance athletes right now, and you know, they come in, it's a completely radical shift. Their bodies have changed, their performance have gone through the roof. I had one endurance athlete, female, who I just started training about 3 months ago. Her body's completely changed in 3 months, to the point that she didn't even think it would do it. She's not doing it as many endurance rides as she was going to do before, as she was doing before, and her performance is going through the roof now, because now she has that ability to produce more force into the ground. Her time's going down, her overall time's going down. She can store her glycogen a little bit better because she's adding muscle mass, you know, and she's leaner. You know, and her leaner muscles is pushing her through more. She's getting more hip extension. You know, and there's a lot of things. You clean up a lot of things in her, and she's looking better. She's looking more like a track athlete that does endurance work. And that's kind of where endurance athletes have to go, is that's kind of like one of the more primitive sports out there, because all they do is endurance stuff. So all endurance runners do is endurance stuff. They run. They get in the weight room. They do their reps. They do circuit training. Get over the circuit training. It's great, but you don't need that. So if that's one message I can tell endurance runners, that's what it is.
Well, there you have it. Just a couple quick notes before we head out for this week's show. Again, that product from Now Foods for the stevia is called Stevia Balance, and the other two ingredients, like Jimmy said, was chromium, and the other is inulin, which is
it's very good for the colon. And the thing like that I want to get across right now is, I don't want to tell everybody, you know, because chromium has some good research into it. It has some bad research. It's only
regards to regulating blood sugar.
Yeah, in regards to, and, you know, you'll find, you know, diabetics who will love it, who have their blood glucose meters, and find when they take chromium, their blood glucose falls. Again, you have to look at what's its value to you yourself. There'll be people, you go on message boards and people say X number of studies show it suck. Fine, great. But when you work with people who you know, because I even know a couple bodybuilders and physique people that have, you know, blood glucose regulators, blood glucose measurers, and they're not even diabetic. And, you know, they're going to show when they take this stuff, their blood glucose level does drop. So there's things out there, you have to look at it. But the chromium in there, if you're going to take chromium, don't buy that supplement to take it, because there's not a lot in there. And there's not a lot of inulin in there either. Take it for the stevia. That's an added bonus to it.
Definitely. And, I mean, again, in regards to that, you know what? There might be studies that contradict each other, but you never know unless you try it. And as long as it's safe, and the chromium is sold in like chromium picolinate, or do you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of different chromiums out there. You generally want to stay with the chelated stuff, but you know, chromium is chromium. It's kind of the things where like there's a lot of, like, it's like fish oils. Like, everybody's putting fish oils out there now, and you have to be careful of a lot of the stuff you have. So just go with a name brand that you trust, something like a BioTest Flame Out or whatever.
Good stuff. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week for episode 60. Again, as always, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. And you know what? Even be nice to Jimmy. Check out his blog, jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com. I got it in this week, see?
Yeah, get it in.
Got to. Well, again, for episode 60, we hope Tony is finished reading his Harry Potter, and he'll get back to us next week. Hopefully we'll have Keith and Jen next week. Don't forget to send in your guest suggestions, and we'll make sure to try to get them on the show. And I think that's it. So, again, for episode 60, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And as always, now you know.
And no one's half the battle.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Wherever there's trouble, G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, the American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe, the American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I.
Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up.